Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, folks, welcome to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am excited to discuss Media Day with you and with the good people, Denver Nuggets faithful. This is a lot of fun. This is the moment where everything really comes into focus for this Nuggets team, everything that the team has been building up for over the course of these last few months is finally in the public eye. People start to talk, people start to communicate, and the goal with all of this is to really just generate hype, is to really get everybody back into the building, get everybody excited. And there was a palpable feeling of an excitement, anticipation, whatever you want to call, in the building today. Started off at about 9 a.m., and I would say that even from then, Michael Malone led things off at, I think it was 9:30 with Calvin Booth. It was just a lot of fun. There was no shortage of, not cliches, but just statements made, large prerogatives set by Malone, by Murray, by Porter. This team, they have championship expectations, but it's not just about talking the talk. They want to walk the walk this year. And there's a lot to discuss, a lot to think about for this one. First segment, we're going to go through the heavy hitters on Media Day. Second segment, we'll kind of talk about a variety of the other things that went on. And then third segment, I'm going to kind of preview training camp. Spoiler, I'm going to training camp in San Diego. They're not holding it in Denver, unfortunately. It's not open to the public, even though it's in San Diego. That's unfortunate, but there's still a lot to like about what's going on. This team is going to get away for a little bit. I'm going to bring all of that content to you. You can read in a daily article on milehighsports.com after each training session that they go through. And I'll also have a podcast up every single day. So you're going to get no shortage of content, I hope. I'm going to do my best over there, but should be a lot of fun. Not a ton of people going, so you're going to want to stay tuned here. But for now, let's talk about the heavy hitters. Let's talk about the people that everybody wanted to see most. We got to start with Jamal Murray. We'll go to Michael Porter next. Jamal Murray, there was a lot of anticipation with him. He was smiling. He was in a great mood. Everybody really thought they're just really excited to see him in the building. And I'm not really surprised by this with the way that he has been sort of leading up to this moment. Unfortunately, things didn't go the way that he had hoped. At the end of last season, he was trying to get back. He said as much this today that he was trying to get back in April. But the comfort wasn't really there. Now, 5 months later, the comfort is clearly at a higher level in his knee, in his surgically repaired knee. And he doesn't necessarily want to push forward the expectations to a high level, to a high degree. Like, he just wants to get out there and play. He said, I don't care if I go 0 for 10 when I go out there. I just want to get the sea legs under him, basically. And that's not a surprise. He knows what he's capable of when he's at full strength, but the goal is to get back to full strength. And Michael Malone, I think, reiterated that about him as well, that he's not necessarily going to be full bore at the very beginning. Murray also hinted at the fact that he may not play back-to-backs, especially at the beginning of the season, but even possibly throughout, depending on what it's going to look like. Would not surprise me if he takes off back-to-backs, and if that's the case, I didn't actually get to ask this, but I would guess that he plays in the first game and then sits the second game of the season, which is in Golden State, on Friday, so that he can play in the Saturday night home opener in Denver. It's probably what is going to happen, but it's going to be interesting to see. His anticipation, though, is just so high. Everybody wants to see what he looks like. He wants to see what he looks like, too. He's just excited to get back out there. And he was on the podium with Nikola Jokic during that time. They were asked about their chemistry. And to me, like, it's like riding a bike. This seems like a situation where they're going to get back into the swing of things, and it's going to be like he's never left. Now, it might be different than that. It might feel like it's taking a little bit longer. But what he said today was that he and Joker specifically, they don't really talk about their game plans. They don't talk about how they're going to attack certain plays, that at least that much. They just read and react to each other. Their chemistry is at such a high level that they don't even really need to talk. They just need to be out there. So hopefully that is something that can pick up relatively quickly in the season. That would be great. It would mean good things for this Nuggets team. Moving on to Michael Porter, he also had some anticipation. There's definitely that feeling of wanting to prove himself, of wanting to show that he is not an injury-prone player. He spent a lot of time this offseason just getting back into the swing of things, finding a better way to shoot off the dribble, to handle the basketball. That's something that he said he focused on during this offseason. Whether that manifests or not, I'm not sure. But he has plenty of anticipation at this point, where he wants to get out there and prove to everybody that he's not the player I think everybody remembers. Now, there is a potential disagreement going on. Michael Malone and Calvin Booth, when asked about a potential rest plan for Murray and MPJ, they said for both of those guys that they'll be getting with the doctors, especially Steve Short, who's the head Nuggets athletic trainer. And they'll be discussing plans for how to handle Jamal Murray, how to handle Michael Porter, even how to handle Nikola Jokic and Vlatko Čančar coming off of Eurobasket. So they're going to talk with all those guys and figure out what they can and can't do, what they should and should not do. And with Porter, I have a feeling that part of that conversation is going to be limiting his overall workload during the regular season so that he doesn't play in the playoffs. However, I asked Michael Porter this. I asked if he was willing to sit out part of the regular season, part of the 82 games, or if he wanted to play 82 games. He said he wanted to play 82. That he said that he did not feel like, if he was healthy, that sitting out games was the right thing. He's a gamer. He is somebody who is a basketball truther. So him being healthy, not really surprising that he feels that way, that he would like to approach this offseason that way. But it's just something to file away. He is going to have to sit out games. I think the Nuggets are going to force him to sit out games at various points. If he's not going to respond well to that, or if he's playing well but he's in the red and they're like, okay, we have to sit you down or else the doctors are going to yell at us, that's going to be a point of contention. So I would just worry about I wouldn't worry about it. That's a yellow flag, not a red flag. But I do think it's something to watch. They also have talked about just kind of how to integrate him back into things. Calvin Booth talked about, man, he's such a great shooter when he has the opportunity to be. But how will we know whether he's back, whether he's fully healthy and ready to go? It's if he's running back, if he's running hard on defense, or to get back in transition, if he's rebounding at a high level, if he's giving effort on the defensive end. And then sometimes they also want to see him make the extra pass where he doesn't necessarily take that first shot when it comes, but help generate a better shot. And it's a question that I have too, where you want to integrate him into a Jokic and Murray offense where those guys are probably going to be the focal points most of the time. Porter has an opportunity to also become a focal point, but the best way to do that is to find opportunities to hit others for open baskets. He talked about how there are a lot of weapons, Porter did, a lot of weapons on the team where you have to be able to hit the extra pass. KCP is an outside, he's a great outside shooter. Aaron Gordon is going to be a great cutter for this team, but he can also hit outside shots. Porter has to be willing to make that extra pass, and it's something that I will be monitoring as training camp comes and as we see how these guys play during the preseason. Now, Nikola Jokic, I don't think he had much to say today in terms of, man, this is a declaration for how I want to be or how this Nuggets season needs to go. He's not that kind of player. He doesn't really set that kind of tone. He'll just work hard and be the example that everybody follows. And that's probably good enough. But he also said today that he still has interest in being the Tim Duncan of the Denver Nuggets, but that they need championships in order for that comparison to be closer to a reality. And he's right. Tim Duncan won 5 rings. He was great. Joker might be even more talented than Tim Duncan. But Duncan won 5 rings, and he did so by playing elite ball on both ends of the floor. Joker can still improve on that level, but I still think that he... I don't know if he knows how good he can be on the defensive end. I wonder if there are still ways to unlock his brain and put him into better positions where he can guard certain sets. Sometimes when he's put on an island against Steph Curry, he's put on an island against Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole, guys like that during that series, it was probably a pretty disheartening experience. And he's had a lot of that during each of those previous playoff runs. I wonder if there are ways that he can work early on in possessions, maybe anticipating that people will try to attack him at the rim, and then game planning for that and making sure that he can set people up so that he can be the aggressor, as opposed to the other way around. But he thinks, Joker does, that Denver can be a great defense if they play together. More on the defense in the second segment, but I think he's right about that, that Denver has to be together for sure. Like I said, Joker's going to be rested at various points during training camp and preseason, but should be interesting to monitor his energy level, how motivated he is. I wouldn't be surprised if he took a backseat to Murray and Porter, helping them get as much opportunities as possible, and then he averages closer to 20 points per game, especially at the beginning of the season. If Denver is winning those games, I wonder if Joker's going to be perfectly fine with taking fewer shots. I think he probably will be, but we're going to see. And then finally, Michael Malone. Malone, he started off the presser with some pretty bleak news that he got into a car crash with Ryan Bowen in the car, one of the Nuggets assistant coaches, and it turned out to be a hit and run where the guy tried to drive off that crashed into Michael Malone and Ryan Bowen, but couldn't get his car started, couldn't get his truck started, and decided to proceed on foot instead. That was a pretty horrible thing. But I do think that, aside from that, there seems to be a lot of Michael Malone in this offseason where he was a heavy part of things with the training for players during the offseason. He was a heavy part of things with the personnel decisions during the offseason. I think Michael Malone is in a better place with this Nuggets team, a more comfortable place now that he is starting to assume a larger role within the organization. He's in a kind of a healthy level of control. It's not a dictatorship, and he actually talked about this, where you have to have those checks and balances a little bit, where somebody like Calvin, they disagree sometimes. They disagree about things, but ultimately they all want the same thing, which is to win a championship. So it's going to be interesting to see what this season looks like and how Michael Malone sort of responds to various points. This could be the year where Denver breaks the franchise record for wins, if things go well. Michael Malone is a really good coach, especially when things go well. He also is really strong as a coach when Denver needs that resiliency, when they need somebody to really take a stand and get everybody motivated. Last year, I think, was a bad coaching season for Michael Malone, in part because there was no hope. I think that this year will be better. I do. I think that he has more weapons that he can play around with. He has more options. And as such, I think he's going to be able to do things his way a little bit better. The defense and the team itself is a lot more geared towards that. So as long as everybody gets on the same page, I think that Michael Malone is the right guy for the job. I do. I know that that sounds like a shill statement and that people may be upset by something like that, but I really do believe it. He has the potential to be a championship caliber coach. There is no doubt about it. And I think the groundwork is already being laid there. Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to discuss the other stories, including a lot of discussion about the defense. But first, football is back, everybody. There's nobody that is more excited than your friends at Superbook Sports. Superbook is bringing Vegas-style wagering to the palm of your hands, and now they will match 100% of your first bet up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. You don't have to be at the stadium to enjoy football this fall. Just visit Superbook.com or download the Superbook Colorado app right now and start getting in on all of the action. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Folks, welcome back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. As always, if you can, it'd be awesome if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the program. 5 stars, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. That would be fantastic. All right, more stories here. Before we get into it, though, Anil Lopiro is doing great work on the Instagram and on Twitter in helping to craft certain videos, certain video content. He's working with one of our videographers at Mile High Sports named Michael. Michael's great. He's a very strong pro at this, and we recorded a video on the Mile High Sports Twitter page that's up there. And I'm super, still uncomfortable in terms of the camera setting, but doing my best to try to figure that out. Definitely in a better situation personally with a non-camera medium, but going to try to do a little bit more of that throughout the season. So if you like it, make sure to go give it a like. All right, let's look at some of these other stories that have gone on, including we got to start with the defense. I think the defense was probably the biggest point of discussion other than just the returns of Murray and MPJ. The Nuggets know that they can't be a championship team unless they improve on the defensive end. Michael Malone has said this nonstop, and he's right. He's absolutely right. Denver was 15th in defensive efficiency last year. That just isn't good enough. Now, they did improve on the personnel. That's definitely clear. And just improving on the personnel without changing anything else might save them a point per possession, which would get them up to about 12th or 13th or somewhere around there. Still not quite into the top 10, but pretty good. What they really need, though, is more intentionality, is more like they What I mean is they need to be more intentional. They need to be more direct in terms of how they are approaching things, how they are communicating, how they are executing all of their schemes. And no matter what the scheme is, as long as it's not crazy, as long as Jokic isn't trying to switch onto every guard that he can, Denver can be a top 10 defense. There's no doubt about that. Michael Malone said that the goal is to be top 5, and I like the high aspirations. I don't think it's really viable for them to be top 5. Maybe they could touch the back end of that at 5th. But more than anything, I think shooting for the moon with this and then just trying your best, getting to a place where the defense is as good as it can be, and then letting the offense take care of itself, which is going to be an elite unit, that's probably the best way for Denver to put themselves into title contention. If Denver can just be top 10, they don't have to be top 5, but if they can be top 10, they will be dangerous. There's no doubt about it. If you are the 3rd-ranked offense and the 9th-ranked defense, you're respectable. Like, you have serious title aspirations. Now, should you be closer to top 5 in both categories? Probably. But you're in the conversation at that point. And at that point, it's just about who can execute better from minute to minute, game to game. So I do think that the defense is something where, yes, they brought in KCP, they brought in Bruce Brown, but it's going to have to be everybody. It's going to have to be Joker. It's going to have to be Jamal, even though he's coming back from injury. Michael Porter, he is going to have to do things. And I plan on asking him some other questions about his defense, not necessarily in a combative way, but just like, hey, what is the best thing that you do and how do you make it elite? I think that there are some serious merits to a conversation like that, where if Denver just has players where they have elite traits on the defensive end, you don't have to be elite at everything. Just be good enough at everything and then elite at something. And you're going to get yourself to an elite defense. I think there's no question about that. Jokic is an elite rebounder and an elite pickpocket. He is going to get those steals. He's going to get those rebounds. Can MPJ be a weak side rim protector? Can Jamal Murray be the best post defender in the guard spot? Can KCP lock down the opposing team's best starting guard? Can Aaron Gordon be that versatile Swiss Army knife that does just about everything? There's a lot of room for the Nuggets to be better on the defensive end specifically, but it's going to take some serious commitment, and that commitment starts during training camp, where they have to be intentional about it. The attention to detail has to be better than it was last season. I think it will be, but it's going to take some distance from point A to point B. Next, just Bones Highland being Bones Highland. I didn't have anything specific on Bones. He spoke about his dog Trezzy. He spoke about his higher expectations for this year, just being in a big position where he's being asked to do a lot. Let's be honest. Sure, Ish Smith is going to be there, and he's a pretty nice safety net if Bones does struggle. But Bones Highland is the guy that needs to be good for that bench unit to be good, even more so than Bruce Brown, because they can replace at least most of what Bruce Brown does during the regular season. If Bones isn't good, Denver's bench is going to struggle. They need him to be good on both ends of the floor, because if he can be, then he has star potential, not just quality rotation player type. He has that potential to have a Jordan Poole-type season, a Tyler Hero-type season from the bench. It doesn't need to be crazy. But if he creates shots for himself and others and does so at a high level, he's going to get a lot of credit, as he should. So I think just his personality, his willingness to do what the team asks of him, but also his ability to be himself and the defense and the Nuggets just wanting him to be himself in this situation, I think that's going to do really well. I'm not sure what his overall numbers are going to look like, but if I had to guess, I'd probably say like 15 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds. That's great. Like, if he was able to do that off the bench, that's very close to what Jordan Clarkson does. It's very close to, like, it's not quite at the high-level scoring of a Tyler Hero, but it's close. And if Denver already has three 20-plus point scorers or so, it's probably good enough. Next, let's just go through the new guys here real quick. I thought each of them was pretty interesting and had something fascinating to say. KCP, I asked him about his experience with the Lakers and how they kind of knew that they were going to be the best team that season, when 2019-20 season, and he was with the Lakers and they won a championship. And what he said was I thought pretty interesting. Apparently during the COVID stretch, the Lakers were the only team that was practicing together. And KCP made sure to state that they were within COVID guidelines at that point, but they were practicing together. They were maintaining that chemistry. They were staying focused. They were dedicated to their craft, knowing that they had those goals. It's probably a LeBron thing in general, but Denver's going to have to be that focused if they want to win a title. It's just that simple. Bruce Brown, he said he was brought here, like, he wasn't brought here for his offense. He was brought here for his defense. But he also has a previous relationship with Jeff Green, DeAndre Jordan, and that clearly came out too. Said he's excited to play with Bones, called him a bucket. And I think that's going to be a fun combination for sure. Ish Smith, thought he was really, really entertaining. Really like what I heard from Ish Smith. He's just a guy that everybody wants to have around. He was very candid. I asked him a similar question to what I asked KCP. Or how do you know when the championship team, like, when they have that stuff? And Ish was quick to tell me, well, I haven't won a championship too, so I'm going to learn just as much as all these other guys. But it does seem like it doesn't have to be a specific moment. It just is something that grows organically throughout the season. And if this team continues to work hard, they continue to grow together, that's probably something where they can continue to push to new heights. But it's going to have to be intentional. DeAndre Jordan, really impressed with what I saw from him, what I heard from him. He and Jeff Green, great friends, apparently. Like, they have a strong relationship. They've been with each other at two separate spots before, with the Clippers at one point, and then with the Nets most recently. Now they're together with the Nuggets, and both are in their mid-30s at this stage. They are, like, DeAndre was asked a lot of questions about just his diminishing skills and what he could still do and things like that. And he actually was very funny. He asked, am I injured? Like, am I injured and I don't know that I was injured? It was just a very funny interaction. He definitely is not a well-liked figure from a basketball standpoint in Colorado, but also just maybe with Nuggets media, I think everybody's kind of skeptical of what he can provide. And to be honest, I am too. I'm not sure whether it's a good plan to have him be the backup center full-time or even part-time. He might really struggle. But what I do think is that he provides such a simplified role for what the Nuggets need at the backup center spot, where he's a big, he rolls to the rim, he screens for other guys, and he's going to play drop defense, which is the simplest coverage for people to run during the regular season. There's something to be said for that. Something nice. It's not perfect, and there will be some holes, and he's probably not the best player to run it. But I do think that there is something to that. We'll talk about that in the third segment. Next, Christian Brown. He and Jack White, they spoke immediately after Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. And with plenty of self-awareness, they were like, yeah, we don't really know how to follow that up. Like, you guys just aren't going to have any questions for us at this point. And that was pretty funny. Christian Brown, noted a non-Kansas City Chiefs fan, despite going to University of Kansas. He's actually a fan of Tom Brady, so boo, that's not great. But he's also a fan of Christian McCaffrey, who I played with in high school, so kudos to him. Jack White spoke about his experiences in Australia as a pro player. Very interested to see how that kind of translates now back to the NBA. But I do think he's a guy that, if given the opportunity, he could certainly run with it. He seems like he's turned some heads during the training camp portion. Or not training camp portion, but during the open run portion right before training camp. And then finally, Peyton Watson. Colin Gillespie didn't speak today. He'll probably speak during training camp at some point, but Peyton Watson was the last new player to speak, and he had a quote today about the defense that I was just very impressed with and thought more about it, and it makes a lot of sense. One of the reasons that the Nuggets are going to have to be a better defense this year is because they have depth. It's because they have plenty of players that can play, that can do the things that Michael Malone is asking of them. As long as they're giving good effort, as long as they're giving good awareness and focus on the game plan, any of those guys could take a rotation spot, whether it's Christian Brown, Davon Reed, Peyton Watson, Jack White, Vlatko Chanchar, Zeke Nnaji, whatever. All of those guys have the opportunity to break into the rotation on a pretty consistent basis, because if they're not, if whoever is the incumbent is not performing, there's other guys that can do that. So it's going to force everybody to be at the highest level that they possibly can just to stay in the rotation. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I think that sort of that level of competition on the inside and that pressure on the inside could help make Denver's defense better. Now, that's wishful thinking. I do get that. But it's also something that I would be watching a little bit. How hard is the defense going? What level are they trying to execute things at? And who's trying to break into the rotation with their defensive effort? That would be a definite story. And then the final thing, the vibes are immaculate, people. I know it's a DNVR thing, but there is a very clear energy, a very clear anticipation and expectation for what this season is going to entail. The Nuggets know that they have those expectations and want to fulfill them. They're not going to talk the talk. They're going to walk the walk. There's not as much discussion about winning the championship this year as much as there is action and trying to prove that they want it. You don't have to say it. You don't have to tell people that you want to win a championship. You have to show them. It's a show, don't tell kind of thing. And I'm not surprised that that's sort of the mentality that I got from just all of the conversations with these guys today. I wonder what that's going to look like in San Diego. Mike Malone spoke that this September they had the best turnout they've ever had. And it was much, much, much better than last year's, which was the worst turnout they've ever had under Michael Malone. But that everybody's in town. Everybody wants to get that work in. And they wanted to work together, which I think is really, really cool. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we are going to go over some of these upcoming training camp storylines. We'll be right back. Final segment, pickaxe and roll. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Let's talk about training camp. But before that, milehighsports.com. There is definitely content up there that you can sustain. If you're looking for Nuggets content, I did the 20 question series that asked and answered a lot of the questions that are kind of going on at training camp right now. But more so than anything, This last training camp article is up, and I'm going to be continuing to do more training camp articles in the future. So keep your eyes out for that. But for now, let's talk about the things that Nuggets fans should hope to see in training camp. What does a successful training camp look like? Well, it doesn't look like last year's, I don't think, where Denver didn't really have answers at various positions. Nobody really won the training camp battles, especially off the bench. Think about the bench lineup last year. Facu Campazzo, Austin Rivers, PJ Dozier, Jeff Green, and Jamichael Green. Veterans, plus PJ, who's not quite a veteran, but was basically with what he did for Denver. And it was more of a default than anything, where nobody really won the training camp battle. Denver's depth obviously wasn't what it was this year. But you're going to want to see what those Nuggets can do just as things kind of progress. You want to see training camp battles. You want to see people really competing. And Bones Highland really competed in the preseason last year. And I think everybody ultimately knew that he would end up in the rotation and be a big part of things. But it's something that you want to hear about pretty early. You want to hear that Zeke Nnaji is pushing DeAndre Jordan at the center spot. You do not want to hear that he is losing the battle to Jeff Green at the power forward spot. Because what that says to me is that he's saying the wrong things. There was a lot of discussion from Zeke today about the position that he plays, about how he views himself. And I just don't agree with it. I just don't agree with where he's at. He has repeatedly said in past years and in this year that he's a forward. He's not a big. He's not a center. Doesn't want to be labeled as such. He's a forward. He wants to shoot. He wants the ability to have a larger contract where he has a little bit more positional versatility and then can basically tell everybody, yeah, hey, this is the position that I play. You can play me here. There's only one center. And so I'm not really surprised that he's kind of going this direction. It sort of limits him if he does go this direction. What I'm going to say is that it's his best shot. It is his best role for this Nuggets team is to play a small ball five role where sometimes you can shift over and play power forward next to DeAndre Jordan or Nikola Jokic. But more than anything, he is going to be at his best when he's setting pick and rolls and pick and pops for Bones Highland in the middle of the floor as the five. Because what that's going to do is it's going to give him more shooting opportunities. It's going to give him more opportunities to generate some highlights, to play on the move, to grow his game. He's not going to be able to grow his game if he's stuck in the corner, which is just what Denver does with their power forwards right now, even their small forwards. So I'm kind of surprised that he's going this direction, that he's sort of pushing back on the notion that he is a five. I want to hear him say that he'll do whatever it takes for the team to win. DeAndre Jordan said that. He said that and was very adamant that he hasn't had to really change his role because he's kind of pigeonholed into the five spot and kind of has the one or two couple of things that he does pretty well, just setting screens, rolling hard to the rim, and playing drop defense. That's what he does. He's not great at it anymore. But if the Nuggets need that skill set and Zeke Nnaji can't provide it, you better believe that DeAndre Jordan's going to be in the rotation. Like, I'm just here to warn everybody that is a battle that everybody should be watching. I'm very curious to see whether Zeke can earn it as a four or a five. We'll see. Christian Brown and Davon Reed also both view themselves as rotation players. They were each asked about being part of the rotation, and they said, yeah, I see myself as part of the rotation. So that is something that everybody should be watching. I feel like Bones has a spot. I feel like Bruce Brown definitely has a spot. The guys that are competing on the wings are Ish Smith pushing Bones to the two, as well as Davon and Christian Brown. Peyton Watson doesn't really have, like, he'll compete, don't get me wrong. And Jack White will compete. Vlatko will compete. But more than anything, I think it's probably going to be Christian Brown and Davon Reed. One of those guys is going to win the spot out of training camp. And it's going to be interesting to see who it is. Murray and MPJ progress. That is the second thing that Nuggets fans should hope to see. Jamal Murray hasn't played in a long time. Michael Porter hasn't played in a long time. It would not surprise me if they aren't thrown to the wolves, if maybe they miss a preseason game or two. And that's fine. The Nuggets know they have to play the long game with both players, where Jamal, he's going to have to get ramped back up, going to get back up to game speed, and it's going to take some time, but you're going to want to see him hit some benchmarks at each of those spots. You want to see him play his first preseason game. You want to see him get his first dunk. You want to see him get around screens. You want to see him hit some step back threes in a game. Those are the important, and also like just driving to the rim and taking contact and being confident going to the rim, not necessarily changing his shot too much because he can't get off the ground too much. You'd want to see him get off the ground as well as he possibly can. But the big deal with him is that you see that confidence continue to grow. With MPJ, it's not just about being healthy, because I think he's been healthy for longer than people think. I really do think that. What I think is more important is how he involves himself and ingratiates himself into what the Nuggets want to do. It's no secret that Denver is a team that's led by Jokic and Murray. It's those two. And Porter is definitely the third wheel. He's definitely the guy that still has to latch on and find his rhythm and find the synergy between all three of those guys. I have no doubt that Murray and Jokic are going to pick up right where they left off. Those guys are good friends. They've been through a lot. They know how to play. Does MPJ? Does he know how to be involved in what they're doing? Can he be a larger involvement in what they're doing? Or is it going to be a similar usage to Aaron Gordon, to KCP? Because the thing about Porter is that as much as he wants to shoot the basketball, as great as he is at shooting the basketball, the most important thing is that he finds ways to get shots off. And whether that's creating shots off the ball, creating shots on the ball, the advantage of Porter is to have him as somebody that can put up 25 to 30 on a consistent basis. That is his advantage. If he is consistently putting up 15 to 18 while playing subpar defense or whatever happens, it's going to look and feel a little weird. People are going to be wondering, do we need more from MPJ? Do we need more from this spot? Maybe the answer is no. But I do think that's going to be an interesting push and pull in terms of his style, not just his health. I think his health is going to be okay. But Denver is also going to have to figure out how to slow him down too. Number three, Nuggets fans should hope to see KCP and Bruce Brown integrate themselves really well into what Denver does. They both are great fits in theory. The hope is that as veterans, as guys who understand their roles, there should be no questions there. I kind of don't think that there will be with KCP, especially. With Bruce Brown, especially in bench units where Jokic isn't out there, I wonder what that's going to look like. But with Jokic out there, Bruce Brown is going to be a menace on both ends of the court. I have zero doubt about that. Now, Nuggets fans should also hope that Coach is saying great things about the defense. Because if he continues saying that Denver needs to get better, if they haven't taken the steps, then what it says to me is just a lack of commitment on that end. Denver has the talent to be a better defensive team. They've got better personnel. They've got athleticism. They've got length. What they need is want to. And what they need is focus. Denver can be a top 10 defense if they just have those two things. They don't need a damn other thing. As long as they have those things and coaches talking about it, I would feel pretty good in that situation. And then the last one. How does Bones Highland progress? Nuggets fans should hope to see Bones' progression in training camp, in preseason, and in regular season. What does he do? How does he carry himself? Is he trying too hard to get other people involved and not taking enough shots? Is he taking too many shots and not necessarily fulfilling his point guard duties? He's going to have the ball a lot. He's going to have to create. He's going to have to act like a star and play like a star. Can he be a star? Yeah. Is it still his second year? Yeah. It's going to be very difficult. He's going to have a lot on his shoulders. How he handles that, especially in training camp against some really good perimeter defenders, how he handles that will be a big deal. I'm very interested to see how he does. But I'm excited, folks. I am very, very excited. This Nugget season is going to be a lot of fun. There's no shortage of storylines. There's no shortage of training camp battles. This Nugget team is going to be really, really good if they want to be. If they go about things the right way, I have no doubt that they can win a title. Going to be fun to see whether they can do it. That'll do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by Superbook Sports. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, late tomorrow night, as I do my best after traveling to San Diego to inform everybody what the hell happened at San Diego on the first day of training camp. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys very soon.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.